On behalf of ISKCON Ministry of Education, we'd like to welcome you to this conversation. My name is Krishna Prem Rupa Das. I'm serving here at ISKCON Zurich, and we are very happy and honored today to have with us His Holiness Sachidananda Maharaj. Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare Krishna.
Of course, Maharaj does not require too much introduction. Many devotees, of course, know Maharaj. He was initiated by Srila Prabhupada in 71 and later on in 1989 accepted the renounced order of life, and since then Maharaj is traveling a lot and spreading Krishna consciousness, and especially also very much endeavors to help devotees to go deeper in their spiritual life, and especially with the chanting of the holy name, as we know. And so thank you so much, Maharaj, for giving us your valuable time and sharing your realization with us. So today we like to talk about the importance of reading Srila Prabhupada's books. And the ISKCON Ministry of Education has a project called Books Are the Basis. And especially now this week, from the 3rd to the 9th of September, we have a week, it's called Shravan Week, where we like to focus on reading Prabhupada's books, encouraging devotees to spend more time and going through Prabhupada's books. And one thing we do is having this conversation, these interviews, and in order to inspire devotees and to hear from our most senior Vaishnavas, Guru Sannyasis from our movement, to get inspiration and learn about the importance of reading Prabhupada's books. So, Maharaj, my first question to you would be, what was your first encounter with Srila Prabhupada's books? When was it? And maybe anything significant you remember from this initial contact with Srila Prabhupada's books?
Thank you very much that I get the opportunity to address you all in this interview. My first contact with Srila Prabhupada's books was in the summer of 1970, when I received from a book distributor a Back to Godhead magazine. I remember very much trying to read an article of Srila Prabhupada called The Peace Formula, and stumbling about the context. It was not familiar. For instance, I read this sentence here: therefore, if you want peace at all, you will have to change your consciousness into Krishna consciousness, both individually and collectively, by the simple process of chanting the holy name of God. This is a standard and recognized process for achieving peace in the world. I read the sentence and my mind was blown. I thought, no peace demonstrations, no political maneuvers, getting the heads of states to sit down on a table and give up their huge egos and work together. That's the standard process. Not chanting Hare Krishna. That was my initial response. But there was another effect going on. The mind cannot come close to the sadhu. With the mind we can never understand. But nevertheless, when a true empowered representative of the Lord speaks, it changes something on a deeper level than the mind, the heart. Remember, I put the article aside. My mind was protesting and my heart was saying, I want more of this.
Wonderful. So you immediately could feel in your heart that actually there is more to that. Yeah. Of course, you have been practicing for so many years now, many decades, and what do you feel, why it is so important to read regularly in Srila Prabhupada's books?
I think it is important to read in Prabhupada's books to just see the reality. at the very beginning of the Srimad Bhagavatam is the very famous verse, Krishna Sva Damo Pagate. This Bhagavat Purana is as brilliant as the sun, and it has risen just after the departure of Lord Krishna to his own abode, accompanied by Dharma, knowledge, etc. Persons who have lost their vision due to the dense darkness of ignorance in the age of Kali shall get light from this Purana. I think Prabhupada's books give us the light which we need to see our path in front of us. And just like we need the daily sunrise to give us light, in the same way we need the daily reading in the Bhagavatam. Also, everyone who has read daily the Bhagavatam can feel that the promise of the Bhagavatam, or Prabhupada's books in general, I put them all into the category of enlightened scripture. Shoka, moha, and bhayago, that is lamentations, fear, and illusions. They go. And I want to stress, it has to be done on a daily basis. It's not that you say, okay, it was enough that in February the 12th, the sun was rising. I don't need any more sunrises. You need it daily to function in this world. Because let us not forget, we are in a foreign atmosphere which imposes avidya, ignorance on us, and which feeds our false sense of self, so that we are active in a false story. So that is changed, corrected, reformed by the reading in the books. And anyone who does do this finds out, if you interrupt for a long time, let us say a few days, then it's more difficult to enter again the stream. So you need to do it regularly, just like breathing, or just like walking in the sun rise every day.
Like a daily need, like our body has certain needs, so yeah, that we have, that we actually really get in touch with our consciousness daily to again hear the message, which helps us to see the right path. It was also, we know that expression of Shastra Chakshu, that we should learn to see the world through the eyes of scriptures. And I personally always was very fascinated by that idea to walk through the world and see with different eyes, not with these eyes, but with the eyes of scripture. And I just wanted to ask you, maybe you could explain how this is working, or maybe you have some personal experience that could help us to understand that principle of Shastra Chakshu.
Yes. We find this idea of seeing through the eyes of the Shastra, or seeing through our ear, explained in the third canto, chapter 9, text 11. I brought this text with me because I think it is a very important text to understand a very important principle. It says, O my Lord, your devotees can see you through the ears by the process of bona fide hearing, and thus their hearts become cleansed, and you take your seat there. You are so merciful to your devotees that you manifest yourself in the particular eternal form of transcendence in which they always think of you. So this idea, Prabhupada says, the word Shrutekshita, It's a Shutekshika path, he says, and that is to hear from bona fide devotees who are conversant with Vedic wisdom, free from mundane sentiment. By this bona fide hearing process, the neophyte devotee becomes cleansed of all material rubbish, and thus he becomes attached to one of the many transcendental forms of the Lord as described in the Vedas. How will you see the Lord? How will you access the Lord? How will you come into his presence? Is it by your mind, by your concepts, your idea? No, the mind very often separates us from the Lord. The path of hearing opens and leads us out of the jungle of mundane conceptions, mundane ideas. And if we go this path of hearing, which, you know, which started at the Lord, the scriptures come from the Lord, then they came down into this world, they came into our reality, they are something like a bridge which the Lord has put before us so that we can move out of the mundane illusions and go to the place where the scriptures originate, that is the lotus feet of the Lord. Yes, how does this work, this principle? Well, it is transcendental sound, and transcendental sound is not born in the material world. It is originating in the spiritual world. And then it comes into this world, Shabda. It's called the descending process. It comes to us, and when we avail ourselves, it's almost like catching a rope that brings us to the place which we can't go in any other way. It is the mercy of the Lord. In fact, Jiva Goswami says it's the pratinidhi form of the Lord. It's the representative of the Lord in sound. So Prabhupada, as a bona fide representative of the parampara, this line, this rope, so to say, which goes to the spiritual world, is bringing this shabda, this transcendental sound of the scripture to us. Prabhupada doesn't speak from the mind. Prabhupada speaks from the spiritual realization, and therefore, when you read his books, they don't necessarily appeal only to the mind. Sometimes they do. But they go much, 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 much deeper to where the soul is. And therefore, we often see that in the beginning, people didn't understand anything when they read the books, when they heard Prabhupada, and when he gave lectures. But they nevertheless felt called. The mind may not understand, but the soul says, here it is.
Beautifully explained, Maharaj. Thank you so much. Still, maybe you would like to share some personal experience, like some moments in your life where you saw a situation or had an exchange with someone and you felt like, oh, now I actually see through the eyes of Shastra.
Yes. The most startling and clear realization happened when, on my yearly personal retreat in Braj, and I believe it was the year 2005, and I had a great physical difficulty which eventually needed to be addressed by surgery. The pain was really strong, and I was sometimes only be able to survive it by either standing on my head, which I can't do for more than 2 minutes, or just bringing my body in an upside down position by bringing my legs up the wall and then trying to bringing the body in a different position. I had been in Braj and I tried to chant my quota. I chant extra rounds during this 1 month when I have my personal retreat. But the pain was just so excruciatingly bad that I was really distracted. In my months, I also read. I had taken many scriptures with me, which I wanted to finally read. Scriptures related, written by the Goswamis, but I found out I could not concentrate. Then I started to read in the Bhagavatam, and something happened to me. The transcendental message came through the pain, through the distraction, and gave me so much strength, so much inner stability, so much balance, if you so wish, that I could deal with the pain very, very nicely. And I do remember, I really understood, not theoretically, but practically, that I'm an eternal soul who exists beyond the body and the mind. And in this way, I mean, it was almost a surgery which was performed by reading the book. It went to a very deep, deep surgery and connected me with my essence, my spiritual essence. And I was able to do my vrata. Yes, there was pain, but I did not need... I didn't react to the pain because I was lifted by Prabhupada's reading, or reading Prabhupada's book, to another level. It was really nice. I mean, nowadays psychologists will tell you that we all have a certain, it's called, please help me, resilience, an inner strength to deal with difficulties. If we are, if the resilience is very low, you become disturbed very easily by pain, by disturbing situations. But this reading in Prabhupada's literature put my resilience level so high that I could deal even with pain that eventually needed surgery. It was really amazing. I can only say it was a rewiring of my whole system and the way I reacted. And I shall never forget that. I must say, I had been a translator of Prabhupada's books from English to German and knew his books. But then when I started to preach, I had a lot of interaction with people, lots of lectures, really a heavy, heavy schedule. And my reading of Prabhupada's books was no longer so strong as when I was translating and working with his literature. But then, when I had this experience, I became so much converted into a reader that even now I'm interested in many things. I'm a curious person, but I'm a Prabhupada reader. I'm reading his books like anything. I really appreciate, because I could see, wow, this was not possible with other literature. The effect was only there when I finally opened Prabhupada's books and had this experience.
Very powerful. Thank you for sharing that with us. Really getting this nourishment from the pages of Prabhupada's books. This actually brings us to another question, and we often hear this, and Prabhupada also said it himself. I think once he was asked in an interview, like, what happened to the movement after you have left? And Prabhupada said, I will never leave. I always will be present in my books. And that's a very powerful statement, that actually by opening his books, we actually get a chance to access the person, Prabhupada, that we actually have an ability or get a chance to personally associate with Srila Prabhupada. Do you have some realization? I'm sure you have, but would you like to share some realization on how you feel closer, especially Prabhupada being your also, direct spiritual master, and having, lost your spiritual master very early also, and then associating through the books with him?
Yeah, I think most of us Prabhupada disciples were devastated when the news came that Srila Prabhupada had left the body. We had heard this news that he was not well and he was in Vrindavan. And then we heard also that he would not leave Vrindavan again. He had said he came there to give up his body. But I think we never, at least I did not take it, I thought it's impossible that he leaves. Somehow it's an irrational feeling, which I think comes when you love a person. Then you somehow don't think that he will leave you and that you will be separated in some ways. But then when the news came and it was finally sure, it was as if a terrible bomb had striked us. At that time, we heard the difference between associating in Vapu, that means the physical presence, and Prabhupada wrote, when the spiritual master is not present, in his physical manifestation, he can be present and can be contacted through his vani, his instructions. We heard this, but it was at that time more like a concept, not something which we said, yeah, we know this, but we miss you nevertheless, and we cried. Love is not a rational feeling. And then something happened in my life. I wanted to know, how can I contact Srila Prabhupada through his instruction? Now it had been a matter of survival for me. He had left the planet. I had not, I must say, like many of my God brothers, I had not really joined the idea of coming into a movement. I had joined in order to learn from an enlightened soul and serve him. So So yes, so the Vani became, I needed to be in contact with him. And I do not want to say that, I mean, I cannot claim to be a very good disciple of Srila Prabhupada. But I wanted to see, and that is one of my particular, as a person, how does this work, please? And I found out something very, very nice, which I would like to share with you. In the scriptures, it said that there are three steps which you must do in order to understand anything. That I have written them down. This comes from the Upanishads. It's quoted by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur in the 10th canto. He says, first is Shravanam, you hear. But that alone is not enough. Just hearing, it may go, the information may go in through one ear and leave through the other. You need to then do mananam. This means to reflect about what you hear. When you hear Prabhupada's conversation, he will often give an argument and he will ask his disciples to defeat him. Or he will ask, what do you think? Or he will say, when will you ever understand, in an impatient way? Because he knows, unless you reflect deeply about it, then you will not be able to really grasp it. But that is also not enough. Just hearing and reflecting are two of altogether four steps. The next step is nididhyasan. You need to apply it. Unless you act upon the knowledge, it will remain in the theoretical department. It will not become revealed knowledge to you. Yes, there are these few moments where you just hear something and you go, wow! But the real realization, which is permanent and stays always with you, comes the moment you act upon what you have heard from Srila Prabhupada. You will have difficulties to act upon everything, like I think the full 100% surrender, I'm still working on that. But when you don't have the real full realization, there's a fourth step. It's vandanam. You pray. Please, my dear Srila Prabhupada, Shakshudana Dila Jay, please give me the eyes to see. Please help me. So these are the four steps how you can understand how Prabhupada is present in his Vani. You hear, you reflect, you apply, and then you pray. It's like, hearing is like bringing food to the mouth. It's not yet in the mouth, but it's very close. Then, reflecting is like chewing the food, bringing it into the whole system. The pre-digestion starts already in the mouth. And then applying is like swallowing the food and digesting the food. But sometimes a little vandanam is necessary, a little praying. And I found out, once I do this, I feel like really sitting at the feet of Prabhupada, discovering what he says. It becomes alive in my heart, and I really feel I'm close to him. Also, I can say, before I read his books, before I open his books, I just stop a little, and either I say his pranam prayers, or I just become mindful that now I'm associating with Srila Prabhupada. And as I apply this principle, these principles which I have shared with you, I'm really feeling I'm moving centimeter by centimeter into his presence and feeling his dynamic presence. And all of us who have been in his presence know, wow, to sit before Srila Prabhupada, and you would change. You would change.
Thank you. I think it's a very valuable tip you give us, that Vandanam is so important, that we also pray, that we actually can apply what we read, what we study, and in this way feel the presence of Prabhupada also. We have been speaking about why we should read, and we were also contemplating about the future, and this is an interesting question I found personally, that in what way would ISKCON be different, like in the future, let's say in 5 years, 10 years, if actually every member of ISKCON would read daily in Srila Prabhupada's books? What do you think, Maharaj, what impact would it have on the society in general?
To answer this question, I am reminded of a meeting. It was organized by the Sangha initiative, where GBC members, sannyasis and gurus came together, and in this 1 year, maybe it was 4 years back, we discussed how would ISKCON continue when all these Prabhupada disciples would go. And the first point which was listed by this body of exalted Vaishnavas was, it can only continue when each member reads Srila Prabhupada's books. Why? Because only then they would know what is the intention of the ISKCON society. I would like to make another point. Now still there is a lot of emphasis in our movement to put Srila Prabhupada more into the center, which means to listen more to him, to hear lectures by him, and more than anything, read the books. But you don't need to be a psychic to see that many devotees are not doing this. I give many retreats, and I asked, so how is it going? And I do know, I give out a Bhagavatam retreat, that devotees come there mainly to learn to become steady. No? So I would say ISKCON would become free from lamentation, from fear, and it would become free from all types of illusions, just like the Bhagavatam says, by daily reading the Bhagavad, the Prabhupada's books. And I would also like to say that often we are criticized as a movement that we have an answer to everything. We are very intellectually trained, but often we are failing in basic understandings and basic Vaishnav behavior in our daily life. There is this criticism. I feel very sorry that this criticism does not stop. And I think if devotees would read regularly, they would get the spiritual nourishment, which would help them to control the mind and the senses and their words, and they would become well-wishing servants of all Vaishnavas and compassionate real compassionate preachers who would help the human society grow. Having said all this, I also need to say one thing. I do know, by having contact with many devotees, that the devotees in our movement are really serious in trying in putting Krishna, Prabhupada, into the center. It's really very nice to see how there is an awareness of Srila Prabhupada. And I would just like to say, the awareness is there. Let us now really also do the next step, that is to practically read and apply these teachings. And I cannot understress the necessity of doing this daily, of building something up. Let me share one last thing. I think the greatest invention of Great Britain is the kettle. You know, these boilers, you can put water in there and boil it. And I know that Great Britain is a tea drinking nation. They put herbal tea and other types of tea in there. And I also have one of these kettles. You put water. And I have learned one thing. If I go to India in the old times, where the electricity is often on and off, and there's a power cut, the water never gets to the boiling point where I need it for my peppermint tea. So in the same way, if you read sporadically from time to time, you will never come to the boiling point of Krishna consciousness. But you would switch on and on, off. So therefore, the regular thing is necessary. Already, theoretically, we have understood Prabhupada is our most important personality. We have this. The first step has been done. Now the second is very easy. And you will like it when you read regularly. There's one yoga teacher who says, famous, he has died now, the most difficult asana is not to stand on the head, not to stand even on the fingers in the handstand. The most difficult asana is to get yourself to the yoga mattress. Once you are on the yoga mattress, everything comes to you. So the most difficult thing here in reading daily is just to make a daily schedule which allows you to have a time where you can really immerse yourself. And once you do this, you will like it, you will love it. It's not something difficult. It's your daily meal of transcendence.
So that steadiness is so important. And this brings us actually to the last section of questions we'd like to ask you in regard of how to actually read, because we heard a lot of inspirational explanation and realizations from you, and I think we understand it is important. So, but how to do it? And you just mentioned the importance of doing it regularly. So, I mean, you already mentioned that you're daily reading, but how to ensure enough time every day? I don't know, do you have a specific, a reading vow or any advice how to find time to read?
Yes. I have found out that it's most probably the best to read in the morning. So I have my time where I chant my rounds. Then on busy days or on days where I could not manage to rise so early as I would like, then I chant 12 rounds, And then right before I take breakfast, I read. I have set aside for that period a minimum of half an hour. As a preacher, I read throughout the day. I need to research things and so on and so forth. And on days like, for instance, yesterday, I set the time aside to just read. I was there for 6 hours reading, and that is a luxury time. But I like to put a minimum, just like in chanting, you have a minimum amount of rounds, which you daily do. And I think it's the best to do it in the morning. And here comes a little tip. To start this regular practice, to do it in the morning, you can also read before you go to bed. There is an interesting fact that whatever you do in the last waking hour or minutes before you go to bed, that will stay with you in the night. It will go like through a tunnel, through your mind, your subconscious mind. And in this way you won't have the confused dreams, but very nice dreams. And then you wake up, this tunnel goes from how you conclude the day to your morning. Then you already wake up and you have an enthusiasm to read. Now I do know that many who are listening to this are in the congregation and they need to get out of the house quite early. Of course, now is a special situation where a lot of home office work is done, but they need to start quite early. Then you can do, the second best time is really when the day is over and you go in the last period of the day. Then it's good to take a shower, to revire yourself, or do a few exercises to revire yourself. The whole idea is, if we want to read, we must create undisturbed time in our life. Best is in the morning, after the sadhana, and then you do it in the evening. Speaking about methodology, how do you actually go about to get the most out of the Bhagavatam? Here is a very good tip by the Bhagavatam itself, or Prabhupada's books. You notice I'm a Bhagavatam enthusiast, because I do know that Srila Prabhupada really gave it his prime time, and he really worked so hard in completing this work that you see even photos where he is preparing for his departure, and he still dictates the purports of the 10th canto into the dictaphone. I think all of Prabhupada's books are really extensions of the Bhagavatam. No? They bring the Bhagavat philosophy into the word. In the Bhagavatam it says how we should read the verse, and I encourage those who like to study to find this verse. It's in the second canto, chapter 8, text 4. There it says, Shrinvata Shradaya Nityam Grinatas Cha Svacheshtitam. Persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly, first thing, and are always taking the matter very seriously. The Sanskrit word is Shradaya. They invest their faith. or it's also svacheshtitam. They make a serious effort, will have the personality of Godhead. Sri Krishna manifested within their heart in a very short time. So three things are there in the you should shraddhaya, you should take it with earnestness, that means with faith. You should do it regularly again. Nityam means regularly. And then grinata sva cha svacheshtitam. You should do an effort. Svacheshtitam means seriously by one's own endeavor. Who said it's easy to go back to Godhead? A little effort is required, a little something. And that is just here. Try to build up your faith. If you don't have faith in all the subjects, at least theoretically think this is from a self-realized soul. It must be true. I will see how it is true in due course of time. What was the other? Nityam, some regular. Even if you read, the Padma Purana says about regularly. I'm prepared here. It says, this will be good, you will like it. If you are serious to attain the highest perfection, then you should daily recite at least one verse of the Bhagavatam. And then the Padma Purana steps back and says, if you can't do this, read at least half a verse of the Bhagavatam. And then it says, every place where there is daily Bhagavad Katha or recitation becomes a holy place. This is how you make your apartment a holy place. No, daily. All tirthas, holy places, come there and the residents are blessed with good fortune. How wonderful. This is what happens by daily reading. Yes, everyone who does it, they know. This is good. So yeah. Oh, I'm so enthusiastic. I'm taking all the speaking time. I hope I don't overextend my speaking time.
Thank you, Maharaj. We'd like to hear from you. It's very inspiring. Thank you. I think you already answered a lot of questions also just by the way you explain things. Maybe one question. Do you have while studying, do you have a specific way you study? You take notes? Maybe you like to say something about this? Because one thing is to just read books, and another thing is to actually study, make notes, have a certain system. Do you maybe like to say something about that?
Yes. I have two methods. One is study, and you can see here, this is my study on the Bhagavatam. I'm just reading the notes, and then I have photocopies from Prabhupada's books here, and I make notes about the points, about the things which are really catching my interest, which I really want to know. And then I go through the scriptures, I'm not a computer user personally. I mean, my secretary, Gokrishna, knows everything about computer and he helps me. But personally, I like to work with real books. Real books means this type of books, printed books. I think it's a rarity. And then I go in the general index, which is very, very good. People have said your books are really indexed in a very nice way. And when I want, for instance, I study subjects like the Holy Name, I study subjects like meditation in Krishna consciousness, and then I go and just go through all the books and study and so on. But I have found out that I also like to read and in another way. I think when you are study, your goal is to prepare something, to prepare maybe arguments, to answer questions. You have a goal in your mind, and you are highly goal interested. Many times, people who have already a goal in their study, they overlook a lot of subtle points because they only study for this particular end. So that has its place, it's very good, it's very necessary, at least for those who have this inclination. But I like to also read in another way. That is just being in the presence of Srila Prabhupada and not being selective about what he says, but to read everything what comes from him. And in this way, gaining a much bigger understanding. And the way what I do in the second type of reading is I hear something or read something. We're speaking of reading now. I read, and then I make a pause and go, what did you just read? I reflect. Okay, where has Prabhupada addressed this point, maybe in a slightly different way? And then I do remember things, because I have, in every book of Prabhupada, I have a page where I write down the very striking points. And then I read there, and then I think, okay, Sachinandan Swami, how can you now apply this in your life? Then I'm thinking, okay, today I want to really be more mindful. For instance, today I read a lot about chanting, because it's Haridas Thakur's disappearance day, and I read how you just need to sit before Tulasi Devi and chant your rounds and you will get perfection. So I got a picture of Tulasi Devi out, put Tulasi on the altar and chanted before Tulasi Devi, because I want to apply what I read. But other than that, I just want to be in the presence and just hear, and not always have a goal to show this or to prepare for this lecture or this seminar, where I might only be able to listen or to read selectively.
So different approaches to reading, sometimes with a specific goal when you have to prepare, but other times just to relish, to try to receive. Okay. Maharaj, you, as we mentioned in the beginning, of course you are very well known for giving emphasis on attentive chanting. You have written several books, you're giving chopper retreats. So in that sense, it might be interesting to hear from you, how do you see the connection between your reading practice, absorbing Prabhupada's words, and the chanting? Would you like to share some realization on that connection, reading and chanting?
Yes, I read to end shadow chanting. Let me explain. In Harinam Chintamani, Haridas Thakur and Bhaktivinoda Thakur explain that there is shadow chanting and then there is substantial chanting. The shadow chanting happens as long as you do not know about Sambandha Gyan, that means who you are, who is Krishna, what is your relationship, what is your position here in this world, and so on. There's a lot of shadow chanting going on in the world. Some say, chant to discover your original voice. I'm speaking of those who do not have sambandha, the non-devotional chanting. It's almost an paradox in term. How can you chant non-devotionally? But you know, those who do not address Krishna, who have maybe impersonalistic misunderstandings in them, and so on. You need to hear from an exalted Vaishnava to know who you are, who's the Lord, and you need to hear about him, and then you can really address Krishna. Then you can really make your chanting into an activity of bhakti, a devotional activity for the pleasure of the Lord. But if you don't have this sambandha, this connection, then you will have only the shadow of the holy name. And you will know such shadow chanting does not really nourish you. It does not replace material attachments. You will still be hungry when you only have the shadow of a meal. So you will still be spiritually hungry if you only have the shadow of Krishna's holy name. But when you hear from Prabhupada, you know, oh, you hear about the person whose name you chant, about Krishna. Krishna Katha, or hearing any type of knowledge, not just pastimes, of Krishna, is always together with the holy name. The holy name always has to have Krishna Katha. Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur says, just like Krishna is never alone but comes with Srimati Radharani, in the same way, the holy name is never alone but comes with Krishna Katha, hearing about Krishna. Because then you chant with a relationship. You can chant with absorption. You can chant with devotion. Your chanting becomes a bhakti activity because you do it for Krishna, to please him and to be in connection with him. The two have to be together. In all the retreats, there are many holy name retreats now all over the world, by very talented facilitators, there you will learn also about chanting in sambandha, in a connection. Disconnected chanting is not nourishing the soul.
Thank you so much, Maharaj. I think we have heard a lot of very inspiring realizations, and I mean, at least I feel very inspired to grab one of these books and start reading. Maybe, is there anything, like a last message you'd like to give us, any specific advice you'd like to give us at the end?
Yes. When we read in the books, there is one thing. It's very important. But we also should speak about what we have read. The most important process that brings bhakti is Shravanam and Kirtanam. This is what Chaitanya Mahaprabhu brought to the world, and this is what Srila Prabhupada emphasizes, just by Shravanam and Kirtanam, hearing and speaking, singing. Kirtanam can do many things. Deep realizations will come. I would like to suggest to all the listeners to this program to read, and then whatever you strikes you, speak it to someone. It can be someone very close, a good friend, a family member, your children, a devotee in the temple, and you will see, you will become much more, inspired in your reading, and what you have read will somehow become alive the moment you share it with others and you do kirtanam. So please try it. You will see really miracles. I know not everyone who listens to this is a person who goes out and shares Krishna consciousness like our preachers do. No. I understand. But Shravanam and Kirtanam is all for everyone. It's not just that we should read alone. Share it with someone. Share it with the four walls, if there is. I mean, that is a little... if you like, you can do, but share it with a person. Get your mobile telephone and get some good Krishna conscious subjects through the mobile telephone. The ether needs it. So in this way, the text will come alive and you will get many, many deeper realizations as you do it.
Wonderful. I think that's a good closing verse, that we should also, you know, share whatever we receive from Srila Prabhupada and with others. Thank you so much, Maharaj, for nourishing our hearts and giving inspiration to our minds, and making us ready to start in this week. And I also like to again encourage the devotees globally that take advantage of this week from the 3rd to the 9th of September, the Shravan week, where we really like to encourage everyone to take up this a vow to increase our reading. And we from the ISKCON Ministry of Education, we are here to serve you, and hopefully we'll be able to inspire you with more such videos and interviews with other exalted Vaishnavas. With that, thank you very much.
Jai.
Thank you very much.
Hare Krishna.